Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite. Hello friends, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler. Joining the discourse on this episode is Dave.
Hello.
Aaron.
Hello.
And Jason.
Probably done that before.
It's kind of a bummer we couldn't have Matt this week because his favorite character is doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But
Lord, is he?
C'est la vie.
Yeah, he's trapped in that hyperbolic time chamber.
Keeps happening.
Every week on this show, we cover three episodes of the hit anime, Dragon Ball Z. Some of us have seen it before, some of us are watching for the very first time.
Okay, as someone watching it for the first time, mm-hmm. It took all the strength I had not to just
keep
watching
going.
My episodes. No, I love it. Not to just immediately message all of you. These episodes, every time I think I've got a handle on what this show is and how good it is, it surprises me. And this was just so good.
We are now in
free fall. In
the best way possible.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
But before we dip in, Jason, you had something that you wanted to bring to our attention.
If my calculations are correct, this episode should be launching exactly like one day after Goku's official canonical birthday.
Happy birthday, Goku!
Happy birthday, Goku! I don't know how old you are. I should have looked that up.
Oh, God.
What kind of cake do you think he likes?
Carrot.
Good.
I mean, it had to be, right? Even if he doesn't, it has to be.
Legally. So, what exactly do you think the Z Fighters get Goku for his birthday? Do they get him nothing and then just assume that he'll forget? Because there's a good chance of that happening.
I was trying to think, like, do they have a fishing contest to see who can catch the biggest fish to put in his body?
I was going to say, biggest fish or most fish.
Yes, either or.
Yeah.
Also, every year, Bulma tries her best to make a robot that can withstand his punches.
Does not work out.
It's kind of like Rocky.
Yeah.
I've never watched Rocky, but I didn't know there were robots in it.
In Rocky 4, I think, Rocky buys a robot for...
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, he has so much money at that point that he buys a robot for somebody's birthday.
Okay. I've never seen any of these movies, but I am now presented with the fact that I must now see them because I know when the fourth one someone gets a robot.
I know
and
the
maybe
theme.
Maybe that robot can box.
I played mm-hmm. the theme at a lot of football games.
I'm sure.
You did.
What would Goku do for his birthday? Other than the gifts that people
forget
give
about
him.
It.
Yeah,
he
would just ignore it.
We're definitely running on a model that says that he does not remember when he was born.
Well,
his family has
to
continually remind him.
Even if he does, he would just want to eat and train, which is what he wants to do anyway.
You can give him exactly what you want by, like, fighting him and feeding him.
Like, I can imagine that maybe Chi-Chi, like, picks a day that's like, this is your birthday. It might not actually be your birthday, but it's the day we're celebrating it.
It's the day that's convenient to me this year.
Well, but I can, like, imagine Goku being the kind of person that really doesn't like a big to-do about him.
I can relate.
It's the exact opposite of a Bulma birthday, where every birthday for Bulma is a Sweet 16 powered by tech.
In Dragon Ball Super, we get to see one, and you're right.
You're right! Shit! I forgot about that.
We get to see a what?
One of Bulma's birthday parties.
Birthdays.
Oh my god.
It is, in fact, the opposite of a Goku birthday.
Without spoiling anything, I can say that it takes place on a cruise ship.
That
oh
is
my.
Nice. It's got good food on it, too.
Mm-hmm. I love her.
Yeah. What exactly would you get? What could you even get Bulma briefs for her birthday? that she doesn't already have or could easily ascertain.
What do you get for the woman who has everything?
Exactly. Your time.
Teach her to fly.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess she doesn't need it because she just builds new ways to do it herself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coupons from Vegeta for, you know, him fucking shutting up and listening to her.
Her attention.
Yeah.
Good. Vegeta's just got like a whole back rub coupon book ready. It's a coupon book full of 100 back rubs, 99 of which say gloves on.
Oh!
The last one at the very back says gloves off.
Ooh. Spicy. It's a little risque.
I'm just saying, ooh. Vegeta knows how to keep it interesting. He knows.
Just
he knows
gave me to... goosebumps, Jason.
The hair just stood at the back of your neck. I'm just saying, Vegeta knows how to keep it interesting. He knows how to spice it up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about we talk about some episodes of the hit anime Dragon Ball Z?
I would love that. How are we watching and or listening to said episodes of Hit Anime Dragon Ball Z?
Personally, I own the orange brick sets.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was buying them as they came out. Because I did not have foresight for this kind of thing.
No.
The rest of you are watching on Funimation now.
Yeah.
And for the most part, we cover the dub. We occasionally check in on the sub if we notice that the dub gets particularly screwy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or if our meticulous sub-dub correspondent, Melissa, is here,
who watches it twice.
Fantastic notes.
I only hop over to the dub if Vegeta and Bulma are talking to each other. I mean the sub. And I want more of it.
I want twice the flirting. Two languages.
God bless.
This week we are covering episodes 151, 152, and 153. Part of the Cell Saga.
Yeah, it is.
Specifically, the imperfect Cell Saga, which is a way that it is denoted sometimes.
He's perfect just the way he is.
Not according to him.
Yeah, not in his mind.
No. I feel like some assurance of that kind earlier in the process could have saved us a lot of trouble.
instead of androids to eat, he just needs therapy.
Yeah. Oh,
who doesn't?
Couldn't hoit.
Yeah, I feel ya.
Episode 151, the English title is Silent Warrior.
The Japanese title roughly translates to One Final Remaining Hope. Number 16, the Wordless Warrior takes action.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Wordless Warrior.
Wordless Warrior is really good.
I'm feeling it.
Stan Lee is in full force again.
But Japan Stan Lee this time.
Yeah, Japanese Stan Lee.
The first note I have is that Piccolo sinks in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All the way to the bottom.
I guess Namekians are pretty solid.
Not very buoyant, those plant guys.
You'd think he'd float at the top like a water lily.
But he's more like a tree trunk.
Wunch. Well, even a tree... Well, okay. There's variables here.
Maybe there's some Namekians that do, but not the fighters.
He's just a very dense plant material.
The guys that can make dragons have hollow bird bones.
And that's why they're in the lookout. And not on the battlefield.
God.
Gohan tries to fly off to rescue Piccolo, but Goku punches him out of the sky.
Jesus. Damn, even Mr. Popo thought that was harsh.
Yeah.
That dashin was not safe on block. I'm sorry, Gohan.
He does apologize.
Yeah, that is true.
But he did need to keep Gohan's cool for him.
Because he needed to be safe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rushing in now wouldn't help at all.
It would actually get you quite killed, and also we don't have Dragon Balls, so, you know.
Yeah.
We got one shot at this.
There's some big feelings in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first of many things that surprised me this week of how big the feelings could get.
Yeah?
Like, they don't even have to holler to show the big feelings.
No, they just gotta speak to each other every once in a while.
Gosh.
Gohan yells at his dad that Piccolo would totally have blown the plan and rushed in to save your life.
Yes.
And I'm just like, Gohan, I don't think that's true.
Gohan.
No. Unless it involves saving Gohan's life.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he knows about Piccolo.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Listen, I'll let a laser go through my chest if it's Gohan, but if it's Goku, that's going through his.
I'm not his dad.
Yeah.
Nope, could be his dad. We started this week off with an excellent thumbnail.
Oh?
Of yeah. someone's fist just colliding very juicily with Fisel's face. While he makes a very silly expression in the process.
That is good.
There are definitely some contenders for Hall of Funny Toriyama Faces this chunk.
Mr. Popo drops some serious wisdom.
Yeah.
On Gohan, just like, your dad has feelings too, you know.
They're radiating off of him like a scintillating aura.
He is not the best at showing or expressing them, but they're in there.
They're in there.
Somewhere.
And Piccolo doesn't want you to die for him. He wants you to live.
You know, truth. That is true.
Ugh. So mighty.
Hinting at the difference between justice and vengeance. He'll get what's coming to him. But not right this second.
Android 17 tries to fend off Cell again, but to very little effect.
Yeah, we get to see a very special drawing of Cell this episode.
Yeah.
Which is Cell drawn with fangs for some fucking reason.
Yeah, I wrote that down. That's not good. I don't like that.
And I didn't need to see fucking any of it, Toriyama.
No, I loved it. He looked like a little Zubat.
Or a little piece. Yeah, pretty much.
He doesn't need those teeth. They're just there for decoration.
They are, because he drinks
What are they
his...
for otherwise?
Dr. Shiro thought they'd look dope.
For his fucking tail.
The computer thought they would look dope.
Yeah.
God.
Which
damn
Dr. Shiro programmed to come up with even more innovative designs.
Also,
You're so right about that, Tyler. Like, the more time passes, the funnier I find that.
His design sensibilities?
Yeah, his really weird sense of what makes something look good.
The man has an aesthetic. I just don't know what it is.
Right.
I don't think he knows what it is quite yet.
He's searching. He searched his whole life for it and never found it.
No.
Yeah.
I also made a note that I love it when the animators can't decide which line on Cell's mouth is where his mouth flap actually is. Because it is inconsistent.
Yes, very much so.
There are a few times where he has a prominent chin because they put that flap up a few rungs too high on the ladder.
Maybe he just has a lot of mouths.
Oh, I don't like that.
Stop it!
It's getting worse. It's not getting better.
He can just choose which vent to go through.
He just opened all of them at once.
I don't like it. Maybe they're all on a hinge, like they're blinds on your window.
Oh no!
Cell has Venetian lips.
What have we done?
What trashy pulp romance title did you just spawn, Tyler? I can't.
Oh, God.
I cannot.
Bulma is on her way to the Kame house, flying along in her jet, and little Trunks is in the back.
Baby Trunks still the best.
Playing with the remote control.
Baby Trunks is making great baby sounds. This is a very good plane. It looks like the magic school bus when it went to space.
He's making great baby faces, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Every time he goes cross-eyed, I fall in love with him.
Every time he makes any face, I just imagine the little Vegeta making that same face.
Oh my god!
And it just is so good. Also, it's a Capsule Corp brand car seat.
Yes!
And there's a Baby Trunks sticker on it. And I'm trying to figure out which one of the Briefs family is responsible for making stickers of the baby. Just Baby Trunks merchandise.
That is that seems like a Dr. Brief join.
I was gonna say it's from Panchi's Pinterest.
That's what I was thinking. Like Panchi might do that. She might be a
Panchi is totally a Pinterest mom. She dances around like a. I don't remember the name of the lady with the show.
Marie Kondo.
Yeah. Yes. No.
Or she started an Etsy shop.
It can be both.
For Brief stickers.
Yes. But because she dances around watering the flowers, serving tea, mm-hmm. and on the fun tray.
And lemonade sometimes.
Are there just a bunch of, like, camera people slightly off screen uploading to her Instagram?
Definitely. Similar to Marin Sunko's.
Mm-hmm. Instagram aw.
Oh boy.
thank y'all for being so patient while I danced around the phrase Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart. There you go.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Who showed up in my brain as the lady with the show.
The lady with the show.
Yeah, the lady with the show.
That guy with the face.
You know.
Bulma trades her car phone for the very delicate remote control.
It's a cell phone.
It is a cell phone.
Mm-hmm. Also, according to the comments on the Funimation website, this episode was released around the same year as cell phones. The first one, so I don't know.
It's like, why yes, Trunks, you can... It's a new cellular phone that allows you to contact your friends and family all across the world, bouncing off of satellites and whatnot.
Now available at...
Yeah. I was hoping it could be some branded Nokia merchandise. We're not far in the future enough for it to have Snake on it yet, though.
No. No screen on that bad boy.
Roshi has been trying to call her, and when he finally gets through after she takes the phone back from the baby, he lets her know that Krillin is planning to meet her halfway.
How fun.
And I guess it becomes kind of a race because she gets offended that Krillin would be faster than her jet.
Mm-hmm.
She decides to, quote-unquote, hit the turbos.
Mm-hmm.
She decides to drive very
baby
fast
Trunks
with her...
loves it.
...with her small child on board.
This is the best.
Yeah, he's on board. He's here for it.
Do you think Bulma tries to brand herself as a quote-unquote fun mom?
I think that she just is.
Yeah.
She just is the fun mom.
She just is that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's saving the world.
I don't know that it is a conscious effort. It's just Bulma.
It exudes naturally.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Bulma just is herself.
17 is pretty much on the ropes at this point.
Yep. Cell looks so cool when he's punching.
Cell has him dead to rights. He could have absorbed him like 3 times by now.
Mm-hmm. He just wants to tenderize that meat first.
That's sure.
I mean, it has to fit in the tail. Like, presumably he wants to soften it up a little first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sure. I don't like the phrase you said or how you said it.
Well,
but
yeah,
I will agree
we all have to get a turn making each other uncomfortable
it
about
does not
cells
need to fit in the tail. We found
biology.
We find out later.
Oh God. Don't remind me about that. Work is necessary.
Buckle up, folks. It's
Teenager
gonna be a rough
Coom
one.
Is looks really legitimately freaked out.
16 pipes up and he tells 18 to run for it because he plans to kill Cell here and now.
Oh,
the world is a good place.
Yes, I made note of that.
And then I wrote. It's also is 18 seriously just like gonna bail on her brother?
I mean, she doesn't intend to. Apparently.
Yeah, she wants to stay and help.
And, like, I made a note on this later on, but and also a little bit, I think I touched on it last week, that we're seeing these robots become human before our very eyes. Like, they're having a crisis of what their purpose is. And also we're seeing, because 17 and 18, we find out later, they were built from teens, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So... I wouldn't be surprised if they've still got, you know, the teenage emotional maturity going on.
As you said, 16 wants to protect this world. And he wants them to know that he enjoyed the time that they spent together.
Oh my
They're
god.
Cool.
You guys are cool.
Cool.
Oh my god, he sounded like All Might.
I hopped over to the Japanese real quick.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't quite as iconic as you guys are cool. but he does make a note in the Japanese that you guys didn't take the lives of humans or animals for the fun of it. Which I'm thinking now.
You give them some time and they would have started.
Well, no, here's the... Well, I'm thinking, because I mean... The ones that we know that are the super destructive terrors to mankind are from Trunks' future.
Yeah.
These guys just woke up. They only really killed Dr. Gero. Did they kill anyone else?
There was that whole fight on the freeway.
Yeah, some of those bikers.
Didn't they kill bikers and... All right, I think some of those... And a bunch of cops.
Did they kill him? Or?
Yeah, they blew up the cop cars and stuff.
Yeah, that counts. Maybe 16 was just in the van at that time, so he didn't know.
He was snoozing.
That said, I do kind of like the idea that, like, not having 16 there to be their conscience is what made Trunks' timeline become such a shithole.
Yeah.
Like it's the Justice League not having the Flash in that dark timeline.
It's a great point.
I mean, that's right under this. I wrote after lots of little crying faces. There's no way that androids can make a terrible future now, not after 16's influence of friendship and existentialism.
Yeah, I just wrote like, in italics. I wrote Teenage Raccoon is the best,
and then
I wrote in italics. 16 is such a good boy.
He had a whole Lilo and Stitch. He found a little purpose that isn't destroying Goku.
Yeah.
Love it.
He puts a hand on 18 shoulder and says, "Ohana," and then goes into it.
So I'm sad to be the one to end these good vibes that we're feeling, but it is at this point in the episode that Cell's tail does a bad thing.
What do you mean? Obviously, he's going to puncture into 17 to drink him up, right? He's got him right where he wants him.
When this happened, I glanced away from the screen for a second.
Yeah.
And so I only half caught that this happened, that I was like, wait a minute. Excuse me, what did his tail just do?
We're dancing around it. So what happens?
I don't know how to describe it. It becomes a cone.
It dilates.
Unpleasant inside.
No, it turns into a pitcher plant. It turns into an upside down pitcher plant that then attempts to suck up 17 like a vacuum cleaner.
17 is gonna get vored, and we get to see the insides of the tail, and it's real bad.
Which I have to say,
meaty and wet,
is not. Ugh. I have not seen that one before. And this is from decades ago.
Yeah.
So the internet needs to fucking catch up with something that came out in the 90s.
As somebody who has seen some of it, it is there. Don't worry.
Yeah, I guess that's what we're going to find.
I have come across it before.
I guess in this fandom it has to exist.
In my fan art searches in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The world is wide and the ocean is deep enough.
For both Hamilton and Cell's horrible boar tail.
Yeah, I have a question.
Oh, okay. I had to parse that sentence.
Which is more horrifying, the needle or the funnel?
The funnel.
The combination.
Okay. I would take the needle 10 times before I would take the funnel.
You know what? You've got a great point. Because it seems like the needle is painful, but you at least are in daylight all the way through.
Yeah.
Not so with the funnel.
I don't want to get snaked up.
You are full snaked.
So this funnel is descending on 17 when 16 punches Cell off of him.
Now hang on. We have to, he doesn't just punch him off of him. He taps him on the shoulder so that he can turn his head so that he can punch him in the face. Which is great. Which I think is definitely a trick in Vegeta's book.
The probably, most fucking Tom and Jerry-ass sucker punch.
It's not a sucker punch. It's one of his hard punches. Gosh.
16
he's such
is like
a good boy.
16 is like, how did you do that? And he just says, I used one of my hard punches.
His dour sense of humor is great.
Because
he named his attack, but he didn't know that all the cool ones were taken, so he just used.
He went on GoDaddy to register the attack name. I knew I was excited for the androids to kind of become our protagonists here, sort of. I did not know just how excited I should have been for it.
I was excited for 16 to fight.
16 is so good.
He's the best.
17 tells him, you made him angry. And 16 just says, I'm going to destroy him. It's fine. Right under this, I wrote, I just want 16 to rip that shitty stinger off. And then, like, the next line, it's, yeah! Because he did it!
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, because I have a 16's note.
16's just so good.
I have a note right before that happens that says, in all caps, 16, you slam his bitch ass to the floor. Because he does a so long DeBowser, hammer swirl, and then just slams him into the dirt. It's delicious.
He manages to catch Cell by surprise, because Cell tries to stick the stinger into 16's neck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it ends up having no effect on him, because he is a digital man.
Well, even if he was 17 or 18, he was supposed to have a neural jargon word in there.
Right.
But it's not in his design. Then he had laser eyes?
Yeah, he shoots little eye beams at Cell. And apparently they burn real bad, because it hurts Cell a lot.
Yeah. Don't like it.
He is upset by it for quite a while. And as Cell writhes on the ground, 16 manages to tear his whole tail off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah! Some delicious Cell tail steak.
This is the most hyped I have been for a fight in ages.
Same!
This is so good.
All the while, Cell's voice actor is fucking getting that money. Because
yeah,
he's given all kinds of like...
Yeah. Get some more O's in the immediate future.
Mm-hmm.
This is a short-lived victory, however, because we are reminded that, thanks to Piccolo's DNA, Cell can regenerate his body parts.
You know, it occurred to me that 16 was built to kill Goku, and Cell has Goku parts in him. Does that mean that 16 is extra good against him?
He can take advantage of certain weaknesses in Cell's design, thanks to the Goku bits.
Cell's just like, alright, well, I'll have to find another... I mean, 16 is like, I'll have to find another weak point. Next, I'm gonna tear your head off.
Yeah, next best one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hey, if one doesn't work...
Cell cackles through the whole outro narration.
Oh, it's creepy. What I love about the outro narration is it cuts to, and what about Tien? And I
yeah.
went, fucking, what about Tien, narrator?
Yeah, well,
he's here still, watching.
There he mm-hmm. is.
Don't forget.
I wrote that down, like, how it's kind of pretty sad for Tien that, you know, that's his want, not his want, his, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Tendency?
No.
His place?
Basically, yeah. I feel like there's a word there, but yeah, it's basically his place at this point. And it's just, you know, another fine example of how intent means fuck all in DBZ. He took off all roaring and determined to help, and now when he gets to the fight, he's just like, well, I guess I'm just going to stand here and watch androids be cool and talk about how they're the key to all our problems. It's fine, though, because they're great.
Any other notes for 151?
I have a quick note on Cell, and it is that I love me a charismatic monologue villain.
Mm-hmm.
And Cell's little monologue about eating 17, kind of going throughout the episode, the closer he gets to his goal, the more his grandiosity falls away, because it starts out with it being like ultimate destiny and fate and we're drawn together. And then it goes down a step to, it's a simple merger. It's just business. And then
I
it's dinner
that.
Time.
from destiny to merger to supper.
Like, yeah, the bit about us merging really is just fake. I'm eating you.
You know, you never see anyone, like, roll up into, like, a Wendy's and just really towering over their Baconator going... It is destiny for our energies to intertwine.
Oh, I know what
Don't
I'm going to do next time I go out
it?
To lunch.
The burger doesn't get to call the shots once it's inside.
No.
Nope.
Episode 152, the English title is Say Goodbye, 17.
Goodbye, 17.
Bye, 17. Ha-ha! The Japanese title roughly translates to Number 17, Swallowed. Don't worry, there's more. The transforming Cell is a super gourmet. Does in fact
no.
say super gourmet.
Oh no.
This week on Destructo Discourse, we're covering hit anime Fighting Foodons.
Oh, it's the best title yet. Oh my god.
Oh gosh.
It's good water. but bad Cell.
Oh my lord.
16 has another very good line, a very robotic delivery. He thought he had the solution, but he did not.
I thought I did good, but I actually fucked up. Oops.
This episode opens with a wonderful shot. The one where Cell is, like, standing right after he regrows his tail, and he's, like, wiggling it around all proudly with his hands on his hips.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at how rad I am. Like, he's so preening.
He's got his regeneration goo, mm-hmm. like, burns a hole in the ground?
Yeah.
Which of his dads is that even from?
I don't know, but it's, like, the same goo that came out of the tail before.
He flicks it off. Ugh. In like a samurai flicking blood off their sword.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But it's also not his blood, because we see his blood later and it's purple like Piccolo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that goo is, but I don't like it.
Yeah, me neither.
16 pretends to get knocked down, and when Cell gets in close, 16 shoots his fist off.
Rocket hand!
Like a rocket.
Rocket piece!
Like what?
Like Venom Snake.
He's so cool.
That's the best.
Did anyone else catch this really weird animation, like this really weird effect when the wind is blowing over 16 laying on the ground?
Oh, like the grass?
Yeah.
When they're like aether gathering around his side on the direction the wind is blowing from?
The wind is just, it's just cocooning him for some reason.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what power looks like with the androids. Like they can't. You can't sense their energy because they're not putting off energy like the living people do. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's just powerful enough to, like, create a ripple.
You're talking about a different anime now.
What?
It's a JoJo. It's not a funny one.
Oh.
But it's there.
But there it is.
He stands up and he proceeds to pop off both of his, forearms.
Just
under his armpits.
Revealing that his arms are guns.
I believe so this is his level 3 super from DBFC.
It absolutely is.
I feel like this is not a great blaster design, because he has to hold his hands under his armpits awkwardly.
Yeah, it's not great.
Maybe this is one of the parts that wasn't finished.
Probably. Mm-hmm. It's not a elegant design,
mm-hmm.
by any
means.
But
it's cool.
But it is cool, and he does shoot big beams out of his fucking arms.
I think big beams is underselling it a bit.
Yeah, do you want to know what the actual, like, Japanese name for this attack is?
Please tell me.
Just say it in the sub. It is Hell's Flash!
Oh, nice. That's what he says when he's saying blasters fire in the...
Yes, it is.
In the English. Oh, my lord.
It whips ass.
So then I just wrote down, what the fuck did he just do? Because he, like his energy goes into the ground and starts exploding out of it. Like, there's, like, some Frieza tier stuff.
It's so good.
It's a lot.
18 and 17 are blown away by the attack. Not literally, just, like, spiritually. They're super impressed.
It's impressive. Maybe the island just had a lot of gophers. And the beam is going through the gopher holes.
Tien watches this happen and he just says, and I quote, "Wow, he's great."
Yeah.
I think he says at some point, "This guy is too much."
Yeah, he does.
I was hoping he would call him nuts, just for Dave.
They get two shots.
Yeah. They think that he has finished the job, but 16 knows that attack was not enough.
16 is very genre savvy.
Welcome to my favorite quote that 16 and other characters say during this chunk, and that is, "Why are you still here?"
Yes.
Yeah, really.
18, get the fuck out. Leave.
These terrible teenagers. They're held back by fear and friendship.
He begs 17 and 18 to leave, but they're not afraid anymore. Because
you did it.
Yeah, they've seen 16's power, and they are self-assured now that nothing could beat the three of them together.
16 is too awesome.
This gives Cell enough time to sneak up behind 17.
Guess what it is again, folks?
He sucks them up.
Gross. Looks like James getting eaten by his Pokemon.
I was gonna say it looks like the old bug in the ground trick, because he pops out of one of the fucking holes 16 made.
He does do that.
I was gonna say maybe Shiro incorporated some cells from the Spice Boys. Popping up from underground out of nowhere.
Somehow.
Yeah, that's a useful ability.
Makes sense to me. Yep, I did in fact write on my notes, gross, this is whack.
Yeah, his tail sucks him up like a snake eating a mouse. We get to see him travel pretty much the extent of the tail.
It's not great.
Into his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where food goes.
Yep.
When you're a cell.
Unpleasant slurping sounds and an unpleasant holler.
Yeah, I don't like this.
Cell begins to metamorphosize.
And again, he's really earning that paycheck, because he's just letting out every gross bug noise you can make as a voice actor.
Aaron and or Dave, did either of you expect this to happen?
Expect
what to happen? What to happen?
A transformation.
Well, yeah, I knew that he had multiple forms.
Yeah, okay. I figured, I've heard the words imperfect and perfect cell, so I figured somebody got eight eventually.
I knew that he did have multiple forms, and also, I will say, the thumbnail for this episode spoils.
That's a bummer.
Oh, you're right.
It contains this transfer, what he looks like afterwards.
I did not expect his feet to turn into shoes.
He evolved shoes!
Turn into badass boots.
He evolved some fucking heels, baby. I love it.
I wish my freckles would glow like his freckles do. That would be dope.
You would think that the beak would be worse than a relatively human-looking mouth, but you'd be wrong. With his enormous lips.
It's not great.
Enormous purple lips.
And the weird nose, not nose thing. Like, aside from that, like, the chin and the cheekbones and the eyes is like, oh, he's looking charismatic as hell.
He looks like a big dumb frog.
He does. Aside from the big dumb frog part.
Well, this is the intermediate phase.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's also got the Frieza-style square ears again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He claims that this form is more comely than the previous, and I disagree.
Yeah.
That tells you everything you need to know about Cell.
And once again, he's still pretty good at talking and sounding like someone who does not have a nose.
Mm-hmm. And he also sounds like he's got stuff in his mouth. I can't do it right, but it's like, I just wanted him to, like, fucking get a drink of water.
Yeah, I do want to know how they achieved this particular effect with his voice.
Yeah.
Is it just full of marshmallows?
Just full of cottage cheese.
Something.
He's super fast now, which means that the other androids can't get away.
Mm-mm.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Because as we know in this show, when you get a power-up, you show it off by being very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
16 is also instantly outmatched by this new version of Cell. Whereas they were toe-to-toe before, he does not compare at all. Cell blows off a chunk of 16's head.
Yeah.
And part of his armor.
Yep. I was about to say, you dented his neck piece, and then he turns around and, you know, most of his head.
Most of his brain.
Oops.
Cell begins to approach 18 to absorb her as well, being super gross the whole time.
Oh my gosh, this was very uncomfortable.
Bad. He's a gross guy.
Because once again, we're still doing that, like, I'm gonna lick my lips to let me know that, to let the audience know that I'm a gross freak nasty and I'm gonna eat you.
Yeah, but this time it'll be, like, sexy.
Yeah, because you're
a lady android.
And because now I have beautiful lips that I can smack.
Oh.
Beautiful giant Andrew Hussey lips.
Oh.
But she threatens to use her own self-destruct.
That I was not expecting.
That's a baller move.
This is where I wrote, this show keeps surprising me. Like, I did not expect that at all. She's so cool.
Cell starts to use 17's voice to try and convince her.
Oh,
this is not okay.
This is some fucked up shit.
It's awful.
However, he makes the critical mistake of thinking that 17 gave a shit about what Dr. Gero wanted.
That was was great.
Yeah.
I like that she started to fall for it until the obvious tell.
Yeah.
That he's like, do what Dr. Gero wants. And she's like, fuck that.
Oh, right. I'm a teen and I hate authority. And my brother did too.
I'm a teen and I hate my dad.
This is a series of bluff checks.
And Sarah fumbles the last moment.
Mm-hmm.
I love what she says when, like, he loved the person he was. This world was a fascinating game to him. And, like, oh, that's just so cool because it, like, it humanizes even the awful future 17. Because it's like, it's so good. You've only been alive for a day and you're so great. I love these teens.
They're very good teens.
These are good teens.
By which I mean they're very bad teens.
But yeah.
And those
good
words mean the same thing.
Tien launches a surprise attack to buy the android some time to flee.
Did you say Tien?
Whoa!
Whoa!
A surprise attack all your own.
Oh my god.
I was eating shrimp taquitos with my wife and then I heard Tien.
And you came running.
And I came running.
You knew what was important.
Yes, sir.
Your third eye was tingling.
What is it that happens here exactly? Is he zooming in on Cell with his fingers as a lens?
He's got a scope in his hands.
It's, yeah, a triangle scope.
Super magic jutsus.
Can we take a moment to recognize and appreciate the nickname that Cell gives Tien? And he calls him the No Count. Which prompts Tien to give himself another nickname, which is a pothole.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna be a really big really, pothole.
Yeah, really, really deep pothole.
But it's one heck of a deep pothole. Which those can mess up your car.
Uh huh.
Yeah. He's gonna mess up a car today.
I'm a
we've already had this self. Much. Look at how much trouble we've already had learning to drive in this show.
He's ready to knock some fucking tires out of alignment.
Matt, please describe this attack to me.
Okay, so the tri-beam, also known as the Kikoho, is an attack where Tien uses his own life energy to create kind of a kinetic force.
You can do that?
Tien can do that.
I didn't know that was in the rules of this universe.
I think he might be the only one reckless enough to do that.
That's wild. That goes into some theories I have on how energy works.
Now,
it's kind of similar to Chiaotzu. Not quite the same.
Now, hang on a goddamn second here.
Yeah?
Why is the crater a square? Why is it not a triangle?
Good point.
This is a fucking outrage.
The first time Tien used the tri-beam was in one of the World Martial Arts tournaments where the ring is square-shaped. And Toriyama just wanted to give him a tech where he made the whole ring disappear. So the tri-beam makes a square.
But just now it's being utilized for a much cooler purpose.
Oh my lord.
Just fucking stun-locking Cell.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. It's so good.
Damn, Tien.
Isn't that also his level 3 super from DBFZ?
Yes. Yeah,
it in fact can be done as many times as you've got life.
Yeah, it actually in the game costs your health bar.
Yeah, that rules.
That's so cool.
But you could basically effectively trade their health bar for your health bar.
We're seeing all the level 3 supers this week.
Oh yeah,
we are.
But I like that it is his plan not to try and defeat Cell because he knows that he can't do that. But he is going to buy the androids time. Which is the greatest commodity in the Dragon Ball universe.
Yep.
Yeah. As often mentioned on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He understands that really he's not going to be the hero. At best, he can be a speed bump against Cell, and he's going to leverage his place on the power hierarchy to do the most good.
He's doing the only right thing.
Yep.
I love that. For whatever reason, it made me think of that movie A Lion in Winter.
Oh.
It's really good, but it's there's some brothers that are gonna get executed, and one of them's like being all cowardly, and somebody's like, be a man, and the brother's like, what does it matter how a man falls? And then the other brother says, when the fall is all that's left, that's all that matters, or something. It's like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah,
I love
it.
I do like Cell in this sequence also. He struggles to get out of the
just
fucking
gets
hole.
More and more frustrated.
And at one point literally yells, "Stop that!"
It's so good. Just me fighting the bone wheel skeletons in Dark Souls.
I cannot get off.
Quit!
When I get out of here, I'll make you pay.
You're gonna be so sorry.
I'll give you such a pinch. Also, this is the second time we hear this exact same line. This time it's from Tien. Why are you still here?
Yes. God, I have such a love-hate for this specific scene. Yep. Love because it's Tien's, like, biggest shining moment in all of Z, probably the last he'll ever have.
You could call it a swan song.
Yeah.
Or in his case, a crane song.
Oh, thank you.
And, I also hate it because 18 just won't fucking go.
She is frozen.
Spoilers. At the end of this bit, she actually does.
Yes.
And I was surprised. So
yeah.
That's not a good sign.
I did not think she was going to leave.
This was going to be all for naught. But she's like going up to 16, be like, can you fly? Can you move? And I'm just like, bitch, I've seen you throw a car. Pick his ass up and go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is my last note for the episode, is that 16 and 18 do finally take the opportunity to run, eventually.
My last note is we get another quick moment to check in on Goku having feelings.
Mm-hmm.
He gets very upset. Because we had a plan. He's not even supposed to be there. What's the deal? Like, oh, he wanted his friends to be safe. But that just makes it hurt so much more that in running in, Tien asked himself, what would Goku do? Like, oh, my heart.
Yeah, he would fight the guy who is 100 times stronger than him, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. Yep. Oh.
For sure. Matt, I'm very glad that your favorite character gets this moment in this series, because there's a lot of characters that don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is a very, very memorable sequence of the show.
Yeah. Of the B and C tier players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he probably got to be the most effective.
I wrote down, at least Tien was able to prove that he's better than Yamcha.
It's not much of a feat, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
And it is just emblematic of the strength of the full cast of DBZ that this guy, who is outmatched in every single way by this opponent, can still find a way to benefit the good side.
A little greeting from the no count.
Matt, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
I really like the veins on Tien's head. They really add to the scene.
Because
I don't like the veins.
Yeah, I wrote down their existence too. I wasn't gonna comment on them. Yeah,
that was sarcasm.
Oh, I thought it was really cool because the veins and also like the shading under the eyes made it really apparent if Goku's big worry didn't do it. Like this isn't like other beams. This is hurting him.
This is a bad plan.
This isn't like other beans.
Or it is a very dangerous plan.
It's a self-destructive plan, yeah. I don't mind when they do the vein things, just they did his veins, like, really, really thick.
Yeah.
They are...
It's because they're extra bad.
Yeah, it's an issue.
Thick and meaty veins. I also really like how long this scene takes place.
Over the course of two episodes.
Yeah, he hits him with so many tri-beams.
Yeah.
I actually probably should have counted, but...
Yeah, I neglected to do so as well, but it's definitely more than we've ever seen him do before.
And it's just so funny that Cell eventually manages to get out of the hole and then just starts getting hit with more tri-beams.
And also, really takes that concept to its absurd conclusion, where it's just like, what if you just aimed an attack at the ground and just... kept doing it.
Right.
Yeah, what if Goku just kept shooting Kamehamehas?
Just continued to.
I'm gonna head back out and eat some more taquitos.
Enjoy your taquitos.
Replenish your strength.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I've got so much life energy to spare right now.
So you're saying that you're going to go back to a Takiko...
You're on the right track.
It's a good try.
Workshop it.
Takiko Hoto.
Well, thank you, Matt. We will see you back on the podcast in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
When you have fully recuperated.
Bye.
I feel like Tien could have done all right against the androids in first form Cell with these kind of moves.
Probably.
This kind of energy level. Though I suppose most opponents don't get in situations where you can just directly, linearly empty all of your power into them like this.
Mm-hmm.
It is also a speed thing, too, as it so often is in this fucking show.
Yeah.
Is that he can pop these off pretty quickly, whereas the Kamehameha takes a long wind-up every time you do one.
Let's see, was this in this? Yeah, I forget what prompted this note. I think Gohan or Goku noticed somebody's energy doing a thing. Mm-hmm. But they've started calling...
I think that was Cell getting beefier.
Yeah, but we're calling it energy signal now?
It keeps evolving.
For the time being.
Language is a living thing, Aaron.
Like, I mean, it makes sense, because it makes more sense than power level, just in that you can distinguish person from person.
I don't know if that is a thing that they're going to stick with, but that is what they're saying for now.
Trying it out.
Yeah, see how it fits.
Mm-hmm. My last note for this episode is that when the narrator mentioned Vegeta and Trunks in the outro, I was like, oh, right, Vegeta and Trunks are still in this story.
Oh, yep. Yeah, those guys.
And then it was just like, friendship ended with Vegeta. Android 16 is now my favorite character.
Episode 153, the English title is Sacrifice.
Ooh. Uh-oh. The Japanese title roughly translates to, Tomorrow I'm gonna pulverize you, Goku's challenge. Special note about the English title, Tyler. Mm-hmm. Did you catch this? The title
is this a friend or foe?
Yes, Sacrifice also appeared previously in the dub as an episode title.
Was that when Piccolo...
No, it specifically was from the Vegeta saga where Tien dies from expending his energy.
Oh, damn.
It's just a Tien title.
Yep.
Oh.
That's fucking great and fucking sinister. And I'm here for it.
That's really cool.
I like it a lot.
That is cool.
Tien continues to keep Cell pinned with the Tri-Beam.
Oh, real quick in the intro... In the intro, I noticed something I didn't notice in the last episode, which was as 17 was getting, I guess schlorped isn't the right word anymore.
I mean,
it's a type of schlorping.
You hear him saying, "I'm not ready." And I'm just
No
thanks.
Ooh. Oh, buddy,
I don't need that in my life.
It's bad.
Made me so sad.
The thumbnail for this one is just, oh man, Trunks is so cool.
They just have a picture of Trunks.
Yeah, at the very fucking end.
we see that the Tri-Beam is starting to take a considerable effect on Tien. One of his eyes is starting to close involuntarily. Oof. And he's breathing heavily, but he still persists.
Yeah.
That Tri-Beam is turning into a dry beam.
Well, that's unpleasant.
I don't like it. Yeah, I apologize for that.
Ouch.
That's blue.
Chiaotzu really wants to go help Tien.
Chiaotzu, where you been?
Hiding behind the house, apparently. Because he just kind of wanders out around the corner.
Yamcha specifically refers to him as Chiaotzu. Like he's kind of maybe going through a stroke or something. Chiaotzu, you're back.
Oh, buddy.
He sounds like Steve Brule.
Master Roshi and Yamcha convince him to stay put. My next note, I don't know why I wrote this, but Tien runs out of shooty juice.
I don't like the words you used.
I don't know why you wrote that either.
Yeah.
He drops from the sky.
We can't skip past Chi-Chi.
What does Chi-Chi say?
Well, when Roshi and Yamcha are saying, we can't do anything, guess we're just gonna hang out here, Chi-Chi just comes to the window and yells at them. What are you talking about? Shame on you! You can't give up!
Continue to wait for Goku!
Well, that's what Roshi said, and he just, like, completely misunderstood Chi-Chi and misconstrued what she said and turned it into that. And Chiaotzu is just sad that Tien is alone. Aww. And that's so sad.
He wants to be there for his buddy.
Yeah, they're best buds.
Cell finally emerges from the pit, still pretty unscathed, but he did lose track of the androids, and he is upset about that. He kicks Tien around for some quick vengeance.
And he calls him, he says, you know, you puny man, you know, you got in my way. And says, excuse me, Tien is not puny, he's actually quite large and beefy. Maybe compared to you.
He works really hard.
Yeah.
Goku, for whatever reason, finally decides it's time to use instant transmission.
Oh, that thing that can solve many things easily. Shit.
I really wish that they hadn't introduced that into the story yet.
It's fair. Yeah.
Like, I feel like it would be a cool thing to introduce after he does training for 2 years in the hyperbolic time chamber. Because we learned that he could do it, and he just doesn't until this point.
Can I do a Goku's advocate?
It's like, sure,
Devil's
please
advocate,
do.
But for Goku, the most a charitable-er reading would be like, if he was trying to, I can't find the way to put it in words, like, respectfully let his friends do what they want to do without just jumping in and being the hero.
Yeah.
Until it's clear that they're gonna, you know, fuck up and die. I don't know.
It just feels to me like it was introduced very, very early into the series before any plans were made to utilize it.
Yeah.
Because it does become important later, and he starts using it pretty frequently to do various things. But up until this point, we just have it in the back of our head that he could do it, but he doesn't. But anyway, he goes to Tien's rescue, and he has a little standoff with Cell. He introduces himself, or Cell recognizes him anyway.
I see myself in you. Maybe like 40 to 50%, but...
You must be one of my many dads.
This is why I have issues.
And Goku tells Cell that he'll be back to finish him off in 24 hours.
I'll fuck you up tomorrow.
Then Cell makes fun of him, which I think is kind of fair.
Deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a point.
Yeah.
Cell calls him a coward, and Goku doesn't care.
You know, it's funny. There's two funny things here. He says, you know, like, I've always wondered what it would be like to fight the legendary Goku. And then you came all the way here just to tell me, I'll fight you later. And then Goku says, your days of terrorizing the Earth will be over. And it's like, yeah, Cell, you're like 1.5 days of terrorizing the Earth.
That will be over tomorrow.
Yeah.
That'll show him.
Piccolo managed to survive somehow.
Piccolo's okay!
Yay!
My dad!
And he pulled himself to the surface and is just sort of clinging to the edge of the island. And Goku goes and rescues him too.
Hooray.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
And then he grabs them both and instant transmissions away. And Cell says, that's quite a move. I must find out how he does that. And it's like, yeah, you and us both, Cell.
That is such a good job of like breaking the dramatic tension.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud at that.
So yes. It's very, very audience surrogate sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh shit, wow. That's
funny.
That's pretty cool.
Whoa.
Not knowing what else to do, Cell just kind of returns to his search for the androids.
It's like, well, yeah, I feel... It's alright, I guess.
That was something that just happened to me.
I feel kind of adrift now.
I guess I'll fight Goku tomorrow, then.
There's a surge of several different emotions in the past 15 minutes.
I do kind of like how this resolves, though, because this means that the game is now officially out of checkmate. Because for a bit, it was just like, well, Cell knows where all his targets are, he's stronger than literally everybody on the field right now, and it's just a matter of time. Oh, nope, thanks to Tien, and now thanks to Goku, like, the game is afoot once again.
Haha! We're about to get some new pieces on the board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Krillin finally catches up with Bulma's jet, and she hands over the remote control and lets him know that he needs to be within 10 meters of the androids for it to work.
Gets really bad Wi-Fi.
Yes. So Krillin now has to do his own search for the androids.
Yeah, you have to treat it more like Apple Pay, only this, it's Apple Pay with your life.
Is it me, or has the story kind of outrun this thing him and Bulma were trying to do?
A little bit.
Like, unless that remote works on cell, this isn't really what we're worried about anymore.
But I love that, because it's just, I love...
Nobody told them.
Right.
Yeah, it's realistic. Like, weirdly realistic, like many things in DBZ, honestly.
Back to the whole, it's not a vortex with Goku at the center of it.
Right,
people
right.
do stuff outside of the laser focus of the plot.
Yeah. And also, I'm going to be completely honest, like... Actually, you know what? I have a bunch of kind of like general things to talk about at the end of this, and I'll save this for that.
She also has new battle suits for everybody that she has fashioned after Vegeta's design.
New outfits,
fashion.
Oh, speaking of outfits, I just really like the shirt that Bulma's wearing. It's a good color on her.
It is.
She flies to Kami's lookout to give Goku and Gohan their suits.
Just gonna go fly my plane to God's house.
And presumably Vegeta and Trunks' suits as well, because Krillin lets her know that part of the plan.
It's true. I made a note for this that Krillin is drawn very inconsistently in terms of how beefy he is.
Yes.
At the beginning of the Android Saga, he was pretty ripped. Now he's kind of deflated a little bit, and of course during Frieza, he was actually a child.
Yeah, I think he's gotten taller again, at least.
Yeah, he is exactly as beefy as the plot needs him to be.
He has spent enough time away from Gohan that they remembered he's not Gohan-sized.
That he's not four.
Yeah. He's an adult.
We see 18 and 16, who are now hidden in a secluded area on a forested island. And Piccolo and Tien, on the lookout, are back to conscious thanks to some Zenzu beans.
Hooray.
Nice.
Now everybody starts, like, harshing on Tien's judgment. And I don't know why.
So rude.
Because he literally saved the world right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, just talking about how they didn't want him to die or whatever.
It's not like they care about their friend Tien or anything. I do love this character, not necessarily flaw, but like, that they stubbornly refuse to think of things like big picture.
Yeah.
No, everybody's life matters. The
they end. Refused. Yeah, they refuse to think of their friends as expendable.
Right, mm-hmm. I love that.
Again, yeah, like
or
we were
as
saying,
a tool in some way.
Like mm-hmm. right, like as we were saying the other day, it does a lot about the whole, you know, only a single digit number of people in the world matter thing. Like they actually do value the lives of the people around them.
Vegeta and Trunks emerge from the time chamber.
Trunks is New doing hair. This slow model walk, crossing his feet in front of the other.
Trunks is the first one out, bathed in holy light.
Vegeta's just posing behind him.
So cool that only the knees of his leggings are ripped.
Mm-hmm. And he's got some killer bangs.
He does.
And the hint, the slightest hint of a ponytail.
So cool.
I'd like to see what that looks like, Super Saiyan.
And he's got a business face on.
Yeah!
Because it is, in fact, business time.
He spent a year in an empty room with his father.
With his fucking dad.
Oh, boy.
Jesus.
Is Trunks going to be okay?
No.
We shall see. Any other notes for 153?
I have two.
Okay.
One is about baby Trunks, who recognized Krillin before he was in sight.
Like Goofy in Kingdom Hearts.
When Goofy recognized Krillin before he was in sight?
I mean, that's what's going to be in the next game. You know it and I know it.
Yeah.
I also had a note about baby Trunks, which is that baby Trunks is so good.
He is the best.
Is
and then I wrote Android 16 plus Baby Trunks Road Trip when? And then I went to the fanfic idea doc and wrote that down.
Just, oh, good.
Perfect. Like Android Dave, 16 has to babysit Baby Trunks for a day or something, and I'm very happy.
I'm really sorry. You just sent me to hell thinking about Goofy and Krillin in Kingdom Hearts because now I thought of a speed. Now I thought of a fucking spinoff that just says Kingdom Hearts Beam Brought Bistance. And that's just where my brain went, and now it lives there.
I love it.
Did you come up with another pun that was so bad that even you hate it?
Beam Bop.
Beam Bop Bistance, yeah.
Beam Bop Bistance.
I'm gonna find someone and they're gonna die. I don't care who it is. It'd be great if it's Jay.
Well,
somebody needs to die.
That's gotta be a new kind of music.
Beam Bop Bistance?
What was that?
Now that's what I call Beam Bop.
There you go. Alright, you saved it. You brought it back.
Aaron, what was your second note?
My second note is a question. Before they went into the time chamber, Mr. Popo, I forget if he said it in the English or if it was just in Japanese, but Mr. Popo said that there was a bed and food and a bath.
Yes.
We've known what Vegeta's self-care habits were like in space, which one he had done.
Not the best.
I'm just wondering, like, they have very few rips on their clothes for fighting for a year.
Oh.
You think they, like, wash their clothes? Or, like, did they have backups? What's going on there? Do you
probably
think Trunks
not.
Took a bath?
Probably not.
Okay.
Would be my guess. I can't see them utilizing the bath.
But
Goku would.
Bulma would have raised Trunks better than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Goku loves baths. Yeah, but he's trying to impress his dad. And his dad refuses to touch water.
Right.
That's true. But maybe he just needs, like, a second away.
Yeah.
You can't really get far away enough in the empty abyss. So a bath is the only alone time you get.
Hopefully we'll learn more about their time together next week.
Oh. Excellent.
Dave, you had some general notes.
Yeah. I realized it when we got to the third episode. That, like, how elegant and smart the way this saga is written is.
Mm-hmm.
It seems
by
like
the seat of its pants.
Well, yes, but it seems like it took Toriyama a little while to get there. But then you have, so the entire thing revolves around a significant objective other than beat the bad guy by having bigger numbers mm-hmm. that the story revolves around in the saga where they get rid of the Dragon Balls, which is impressive and it's great. And also, because of what that specific story point is, which is we're trying and, you know, in the end, generally failing to stop Cell from absorbing people, it makes the big bad getting new forms and new power-ups major events that move the story forward and change its shape instead of just being Frieza's number went up.
Just being arbitrary now. When Frieza decided to do it.
Yeah, and that's because, like, and the androids, I think, are great. I don't know, I guess they're, like, secondary antagonists. They've kind of moved into being anti-heroes now.
Yeah.
Or sort of. They exemplify why this is so great, and it's like, it's still going to be hard for me to for anyone to beat Frieza as the best villain in my mind just because he's such a perfect, like, philosophical opposite counterpoint to Goku.
Yes.
But the androids are great because, like, As silly as it is sometimes, what happens in the plot of this show is by and large not decided by who has the highest power level. Like, and that's been true for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's decided by people making decisions. Like people making in, you know, nobody in Dragon Ball ever does the optimal thing. And in that way, they are profoundly realistic characters. You know, it's like we were just talking about, you know, no one told Krillin and Bulma that how fast things have been moving because information doesn't travel in a vacuum.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't communicate well.
Yeah.
And sometimes people make bad decisions. And the thing that's fucking heartbreaking and amazing about what happened in this set of episodes is that, you know, the worst case scenario happened because 17 and 18 made a really bad decision for a really good reason.
Yeah.
Because they had so much faith in their brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing. That's amazing writing. Like, this is a great show. And it keeps getting better in ways that I don't expect.
You said something pretty important during that.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that this show is great because sometimes people make very bad decisions. I want you to hold on to that thought for the next couple weeks.
I'm excited.
Anything else for the episodes this week?
I just love all these big feelings.
I'm ready for more.
I think there is an interesting... You mentioned, Dave, you mentioned Frieza being the perfect philosophical counterpoint to Goku. And I think Cell, I agree that he's not as perfect of a counterpoint, but he's
ironically
a counterpoint from a different angle.
Yeah. And you mentioned previously that all the villains are that way in some way.
Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of starting to see what Cell's thing is in that where Frieza was a counterpoint to Goku by just already being perfect, there's no need to train. If you have to improve, you're not perfect, so why bother? Cell is kind of coming at the relationship side of things of, yeah, do train, do get better, but do it by destroying everyone around you.
Yes.
You're the most important
right.
person.
Frieza was the opposite of Goku. Cell is the dark, twisted reflection of Goku,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of great for a lot of reasons.
Well, and it's
a Goku Black, if you will.
Imagine a dark Goku.
It's great because it comes at a point in the story when we're starting to see more characters and more of their relationships, and so it gives us a counterpoint to balance those relationships against, and to see, is Goku like this, or does he care about these other people actually? And
yeah, that's something that I haven't really thought about, but is kind of neat, is that even though they weren't the best relationships, Frieza still had them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, he had a dad, he had people who worked for him. Cell is himself against the world.
And you learn things about him and about those other characters, by the way, the ways they interact.
Yeah.
And Cell only has that in a purely antagonistic way.
Cell is a lone wolf.
Not even the fight flirting like Frieza does.
Aaron.
Tyler.
What's Marin up to?
I am so glad you asked. I've been thinking about this a lot. So we left on a cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. She visited Hell, had a good time, made a new cloud friend, flew up to Snake Way. It was a cool road. And mm-hmm. she saw a house in the distance. She's like, woo, I'm tired of walking on this road. It's really boring. There's only clouds here. No offense, cloud friend. so she's going to go in and visit Princess Snake and Raditz. What are they up to?
Before she does that, I have a very important question.
Yeah.
When she is on Snake Way, does Marin also try to eat a cloud?
No.
Does that interest her?
No, because she's made friends with Nimbus. She tries to talk to clouds. She probably, maybe...
She's trying to find cloud-based hunkos.
Well, I was gonna say, maybe the Nimbus has, like, a hunky cousin.
Oh, boy.
Cumulus.
You have to be strong of heart to write that cloud.
He's a big storm cloud with beefy cloud muscles.
Yeah!
Can Cumulus be the hunko cloud that that Marin rides everywhere?
Yes. Because Nimbus hung out with her for a bit, but Nimbus's heart belongs to Goku.
He's leased out to the San family for at least a few more generations.
Marin is not quite pure of heart. I still think of her as a Slytherin, whereas Goku's a solid Hufflepuff. Or maybe Gryffindor, I don't know.
You ask what Princess Snake and Raditz have been up to.
Yeah.
Raditz, I'm going to say, is still working his job as the street sweeper that he got.
Oh, he's doing that. I thought he was going to get a job at 666 Flags.
He was going to get a bunch of different jobs. We should find a way for Marin to make it so that he loses this job.
Well, maybe she runs into him while he's sweeping.
Inadvertently.
Oh, yeah, and that's why she ends up going to Princess Snake's house. She just gets in the...
Up on the back, I'm clocking out. She headed home for the night.
Can she, like, make him accidentally lose the street sweeper off the side of Snake Way? It's like his first day. And this is the street sweeper that he's lost.
So he is distracted by something. He's listening to a podcast or something.
Yeah.
What's this thing called Dynamite Discourse? Are they describing my ship?
Oh my god, that is full circle! the Farmer's Podcast had Genesis in his old recordings.
Uh-huh.
And now it's come all the way around and he's listening to his podcast.
He's chomping my flavor.
What's this all about? It's an iTunes staff pick. I guess I'll check it out.
Wait a minute.
And he almost hits her, but he swerves at the last minute, and the whole thing goes off the road, similar to the other guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Raditz can fly, so he hops off, and he's fine.
He just go to hell, because he's smart enough to get out of the sweeper.
Yes.
He's a good smart.
Does get fired, but not sentenced to hell, so that's good.
So they should go back and check on Princess Snake, but I don't know what she's up to. She wanted Raditz out of the house for something.
Oh, was it here or earlier?
Is she getting a birthday party ready for him?
Oh!
it's Raditz's birthday,
yeah!
too.
Yeah! Birthdays! I love them.
I thought Aaron would like that.
Yeah, she's
So does this mean that Marin and Princess Snake just, like, become friends based on preparing for Raditz and her parents'
birthday? I want them to be
birthday.
Foes before they're friends.
You make a compelling argument.
I want them to be enemies before they form an alliance.
Ooh.
And the enemy and the battle is in fashion.
Oh, so yes, good. Because we know Marin is not afraid to share her thoughts. Mm-hmm. She would probably definitely call Princess Snake old. Because she's an ancient snake goddess.
Raditz went out to get a job, and he comes home with another woman. Is that a problem?
It could be. I'm not, like, a huge fan of that trope of just whenever two ladies meet and there's we must fight.
Is alternatively...
It is very tired, you that.
It could be based on something else. I prefer the idea that Princess Snake understands full well that her man is a snack. And it's like, you know, these ladies just follow him around. I can't, it's a compliment to my taste more than anything else.
Oh my gosh, is he like a mirror villain to Marin the way the villains are to Goku? He attracts the lady hunkos.
Oh my god. This is the key.
Oh no.
Together they can take over the world.
It's a power that he's not even aware of because it has only shown up while he's been in hell.
Princess Snake kept him to herself.
Well, now I'm thinking he's not really had a lot of women in his life as I'm aware of. He spent most of his adulthood
Around bugs
and Vegeta. Vegeta and Nappa.
Yeah, it's
around
not a lot.
Bugs.
He had not truly unlocked his power as a Casanova.
The phrase "meanwhile on a distant bug planet" is just inherently fucking funny to me.
So we have two things now. There's a birthday party that was being planned for Raditz apparently, and there is a fashion battle. How do those two interact?
Oh my god.
How do we stitch those things together?
They're trying to pick out, like, fun party outfits, and it begins with subtle sniping of fashion taste. It's like, I mean, that's a choice.
You're gonna go with that?
I mean, you can, if you want, and then it
I'm not gonna wear it.
It finally comes
those
to blows,
streamers?
And...
Really?
It comes to what, Jason?
It comes to blows.
It comes to blows.
Well, a fashion.
Fashion blows.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, well, we're gonna settle this on the runway, and they have to put the party aside. So
clouds decide.
Yeah. So Raditz comes home from a hard day of hell work to find the entire. Using snake magic, the entire front room has gone from like half party room. Also half fashion runway, and it's just full of, like, they have to bring in those cloud people, like the, you know, the nondescript souls of the dead to judge, mm-hmm. because you can't populate it with, like, snake people or hunkos, because they've got bias, right?
Right.
Yeah.
We need impartial judges.
When Raditz shows up, is he like, oh my gosh, how did you know? Project Runway is my favorite. I've always wanted to be a cool fashion boy.
You're recreating my favorite show that we like to watch on Hisflix. I've been practicing my smizing all week.
I mean, of the three Saiyans, he is the one who accessorized.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He had the bangles.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember the woman with the gun?
How could I forget?
Yeah. Wait, who are we talking about?
Snake Princess Castle.
One of Princess Snake's attendants is just like this this lady with like a blonde ponytail, and she's just like, my favorite game is fucking Russian roulette. Let's go.
Yeah.
She still has the gun in one hand, but she's also walking around serving hors d'oeuvres that are just bug legs.
Good.
For Raditz's birthday.
Is this her getting him a treat, or has Princess Snake developed a taste for it too?
I mean, she is a snake.
She has, I think, a wide and yet nuanced palate. She's open to many things.
Jason, how does this resolve the runway battle?
Oh, don't make me choose.
Well, you said that they were foes and then became friends, so I thought you had an idea.
I think that maybe it's one of those things where it's like, bam, boom, turn it on the runway. And then Raditz shows up and he's like, oh man, my favorite show, how'd you know? And then they look to Raditz and they go, And then star wipe, Raditz hits the runway with the best fashion.
And everybody cheers.
And everyone cheers and declares him the winner. And he's like, this is the best birthday ever.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Aaron, what was your idea?
This can probably happen like on another day, because Marin can just be a terrible house guest, because she's sassy and has no manners, and I love her.
They got a spare couch.
But eventually...
Give a futon.
Oh god, I just forgot. Princess Snake. I forgot her name for a sec. It's Princess Snake. It's not hard to remember. Princess Snake, I just want her to get fed up and turn full snake. Just turn into her giant snake form and, like, have Marin in her clutches. And Marin just does not. She's a little bit like, ah, you're a snake, but continues just to insult her or, like, not be generally not impressed.
You're an old
you're a snake.
And your
cooking is still terrible.
Ugh! Your scales are so dry. You need to moisturize more.
Two words for you.
Does Merit have any suggestions on what she should use to moisturize?
Probably, but I don't know. Aaron, don't know enough.
Well, no, but I'm just like,
how about they become 400?
But I'm saying, is that how they become friends?
I think in Dragon Ball Z fashion, they're gonna need a common enemy to fight against.
That's true.
That's right. Fair.
So is this another cliffhanger for Marin, that she is struggling to not be eaten by a snake that she is insulting?
Yes.
We will check in with Marin next time. Let's do a brief bit of Hail Satan as well.
Yeah, what's Satan up to?
I think he's kicking back.
Oh, let the birds take care of it.
Yeah, last time he saw that there was a very beefy, capable-looking guy covered in birds that he could spin to say, like, yeah, that's my guy. And since then, no one else has been ate.
I've been training him from birth.
So he thinks the situation is taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the search gets called off. And Videl had some hot leads, but now she has to go home.
Yeah. Also, he really wants Videl to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to safety.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Launch was her ride, but Launch heard, like, Tien was somewhere, so... It's like,
Hasky,
kid,
can you pick me up?
I'm just, yeah.
I'm on an island. I was riding a log through a waterfall, but now I'm on an island. I don't know how that happened, Hasky. I'm sorry. I need to go home.
So I'm going to say it's movie night at Satan House. Mm. They've been apart for a while. They need to reconnect. Miss Pizza's there. Piroshki and Caroni.
What movie do they both like?
They pop some Jiffy Pop. It's just real cozy.
What's going into the VHS? Because this is 1992.
What do they watch on VHS? Other than martial arts tapes.
Fern Gully.
I was going to say, do they watch...
I was going to say Shrek, wow. But this is too early for Shrek. I think Mr. Satan would really like Shrek.
Mr. Yeah, Satan would absolutely like Shrek.
And Fidel might like it, too. It's a fun movie.
It's a great movie. Yeah. It holds up.
It's something for everyone.
Something for the whole family.
That guy's name is Farquaad.
Hey, Vidal, who am I? Donkey!
Can they please watch God. Shrek?
He absolutely they is should watch that Shrek. Dad, isn't he?
It's because of Trunks' tampering, Shrek comes out.
Yay!
10 years earlier.
The unknowable effects on the timeline.
What more has changed?
Normally, like, Mr. Satan always likes to watch kung fu movies, but then he critiques the moves constantly. So it's,
yeah,
he's
a pain in the ass to watch a movie with because he's constantly talking.
Yeah, he's that guy.
How does he feel about the bit in Shrek with the wrestling, the tournament?
He critiques that as well, even
it's
though it's animated.
There's not much in Shrek for him to critique, but he finds it.
Now, sweetie, that's not enough momentum to break that man's arm. I just want you to know.
Doesn't make any sense to do that in armor.
Why would you wrestle in the beer mud? That's good beer. You should be drinking it. I like Shrek.
I don't give a damn about his reputation either.
You know, a good martial arts technique is like an onion.
God.
Jason.
Yeah.
Give us a 4-star reading, please.
I would love to after this car passes me. And we're good. Why, I'd love to, Tyler. Because at the end of every episode, we like to flip over to the horoscope section and read a little something for our Z Fighters or anyone who has something adjacent to a birthday. In this case, we're going to have to reverse engineer a birthday based on their manga debut date. And the character or creature in this instance is Cell. Cell debuted February 11th, 1992. That would make Cell an Aquarius. And, oh boy. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm gonna step away because I can't listen to this one.
It's a good one.
You posted it earlier, and I need to go lay down.
take a nap, sip on some cucumber water, we'll be back with you. So, this is for you. You're feeling a growing sense of unity between you and a large group of people.
Lord in
heaven. You should continue to nurture this feeling. Because there's a no better feeling than a sense of belonging.
God.
Your values and insights are appreciated by more folks than you realize, so it's time to branch out and explain your perspectives. What's more, try not to shy away from any unsolicited invitations that might come your way. On the contrary, you should immediately bring them into the fold.
God damn.
So, that's for you, Cell. Hope you can take that ball and run with it.
Lord.
Thank you all for listening.
Tyler, are you okay? Do you need a sensu bean?
Thank you all for listening again this week. Just thanks. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast that we do. I appreciate everyone who tunes in every week.
Yeah?
Dave, where can our friends find you on the internet?
I am still at Scythe, PSYTHE, on Archive of Our Own. I write fanfiction. There may be some new developments there soon.
And Aaron?
I don't do much on the internet, but if you happen to find yourself in or around the area of Dayton, Ohio, you can come to the Black Box Improv Theater. I'm in a group that performs on Thursday night, but we have shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
And Jason.
Hey, well, for now, you can pretty much just find me on Twitter. The name for that is JCAVS, and that's JAYCALVES.
We also have a Twitter, which is Destructo Disc, or Destructo _Disc, DISC. Pinned there is a tweet invitation to our Discord server, where you can join up and talk about your own OCs that you may or may not have, or post art, or just talk about Dragon Ball Z, or the episodes of the podcast themselves. And if you have questions that you'd like to email to us, our Gmail is destructodiscourse@gmail.com. If you'd like to help others find out about the show, please give us a rating and or review on Apple Podcasts or whatever service you use to listen to this show. And when you do that, please make it a 4-star rating.
It's the special Gohan ball.
Give us the Gohan.
We need him.
He's our favorite.
We are Destructo Discourse, and we're just getting warmed up. The road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, you'll fly away. Chala, and chala, no time to hesitate, don't want to search the earth within a glass of magic surprise. Get your free.